5, 4, 3. You know, I was just listening on my YouTube playlist of 90s rock and hearing bands like Space Hog and Danzig and the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, right? And I was thinking, like, as Pittsburgh Kevin might say, where are Gene's Gay? I mean, where are these bands that were like really huge? They had giant hits, and then they just disappeared. They fell off the face of the earth. So on this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we're going to tell you all about 10 bands from the 90s that seemed to just vanish. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Everybody, moms and dads, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Ludini, a.k.a. Lou Lombardi. See, I switched it up on you.
Oh.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You did.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
And this is my merry band of cohorts here at the circus, where we bring you great music, talk, and comedy every week. Found all over the planet on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever great podcast listening can be found. Please check us out on the web at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. And if you would like access to some exclusive material, videos, music, things like that, that you can't get anyplace else, you want to go to my website, LouLombardiMusic.com. There's all kind of cool downloads and all kind of fun stuff there. So please check us out. We are also in cahoots, if you will, with this little thing called Rock Rage Radio. And you can find out more about that at rockrageradio.com. Download the app. You can listen to great music programming 24/7, including this show, as well as Hot Licks with Lily Six on Thursday nights at what time, Lily?
6 p.m. Eastern Time.
6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I do want to mention our sponsor, Wolf's Customs. You want to go to wolfscustoms.online, and let me tell you why you might want to do that. If you're a guitar player, bassist, drummer, you play any kind of musical instrument, and you're looking for something that's going to like make you stand out a little bit in terms of how the guitar looks, how it, you know, how the audience perceives it, then Chris Thunderwolf Dodson at wolfscustoms.online is definitely where you want to go, because they do these amazing custom finishes on musical instruments, hollow flash. They do the like the engraving. They do all kind of really cool stuff. A lot of great photos in there. You can check it all out there at wolfscustoms.online. So we have a show for you guys today. We're going to be getting into this another one of these sort of where Ian's at, just to mix it up for our Pittsburgh friends, but. Another one of these shows on bands that like seem to have vanished or we haven't heard from in a long time, trying to sort of try to catch up and see what they might be up to, if they are up to anything. So we're going to get into that here in a second. But first, I just want to say that I saw the Black Crowes. Yes, the Black Crowes. Ooh. Last Wednesday at the wonderful Starlight Amphitheater in sunny Burgettstown, Pennsylvania. It's a suburb of Pittsburgh. The show was absolutely amazing. It was a humid night, of course, but you know, no rain, nothing like that. The drinks were good. The company was great. The bands were absolutely freaking amazing. The Black Crowes, after we got out, I came home and put on a couple of Black Crowes records, and like, we were like, he sounds exactly the same. He sounds exactly the same. So like a lot of these guys whose voices changed or whatever, or maybe, you know, really struggling, Chris Robinson is not one of them. So if you get a chance to check the Crowes out on their tour, it's a really, really good show. They're like in top form. They sound as good as ever. They sound absolutely fantastic. And a shout out to Dirty Honey as well. The opening act, good Led Zeppelin style, you know, newer band. So you want to check those guys out as well. So that was my big adventure. And
yeah, there,
so
Casey Kasem.
So
yeah, what's going on over there?
So what?
Are you okay?
So what do you guys?
Temperature.
I'm trying to
be professional or something.
Come yes. On. What I'm trying it's to us. Do is I'm going to be at Rockin' Pod this weekend.
Oh.
You know, and you know, I'm trying to like, you know, up my, you know, my game a little bit. Mm-hmm. Instead of talking a million miles a minute, shouting, going, oh my God.
But we like you like that.
And we're used to you like
so
that.
So I'm trying to be a little bit more professional, especially during the announcements portion. Just the people that understand all the announcements and they hear. I think sometimes I'm not doing any of these folks any good because I'm speaking so fast that nobody even knows what the hell I'm talking about when I talk about Rock Rage Radio or Wolf's Customs, whatever. So I was trying to like, be a little bit better at that. Yeah, yeah. That is all. So, Lily, yeah. What is going on with you? You did some fun stuff.
I went on vacation over the weekend.
Woo!
Nobody really seemed to bother me too much, which was great. But I went to Cedar Point in Ohio. And I also went to a train museum, which was very interesting. Met with one of the bands that I hosted on one of my shows for Lily Six's Live Saturdays. It's Guy Snowden and the Citizens. He's a British singer-songwriter out of Cleveland. And he... let me preview his new album. So.
Wow. Look at you being all special.
With his lovely wife and child there making me mud pies.
Nice. Mud pies.
Sadie made me a mud pie. Mm.
Sadie made me a mud pie. That's a blues song. Yeah.
Sadie made me a mud pie.
But yes, they were very cool.
And
people.
I love
them. Oh,
every
and we
day.
Tried out the new Haunted House restaurant in
what?
Cleveland.
What? You
was
did
fun.
Not.
I did that. It was delicious.
I call shenanigans on your happy ass.
Mm. Pictures on Facebook.
Okay. Okay. Well, Facebook is the proof, right?
Yes.
Right. Wait a minute. You might get. I think they should send a fact checkers in on you. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I had a dinner called Slimer.
I can only imagine what it looked like.
It was green waffles.
Oh.
With egg, sausage, mm-hmm. and maple syrup, and coated in powdered sugar. It was delicious.
Hmm.
I had a Slimer after dinner.
I'll bet you did.
You don't know what that is? You can let your imaginations sort of just go with that.
Yeah.
So let's get into it, guys. We don't have any... I've been stalling for the past 9 minutes, so...
Because you're talking
you're
so slow.
Yes, everybody, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll. Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into today's topic. Lily, we usually start with you.
Ladies
this
first.
Gives Kevin and I a chance to finish our homework while you're talking.
Oh, you mean how I didn't do mine correct at all?
You're good. We said, listen. Okay, so we miscommunicated for a second, and I said 90s bands. Well, you might hear a couple bands that aren't from the 90s.
No,
so you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine.
We're good.
You're all just going to, you know, it's going to be so good. And when it's done, you're going to be like, wow. He was right. It was so good. So go ahead.
Anyway, I'm going to talk about a band that I've been obsessed with for the past few weeks. Made you play them on the our personal after show upstairs on the loft there. But White Trash,
yes.
Funk hard rock soul band from Queens, New York. They separate themselves from other bands in their genre with their horn section called the Badass Brass, which gave them a very funky musical sound. They enjoyed some success in the early 90s before disbanding. White Trash was heavily influenced by Blood, Sweat, and Tears and the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones with the horn section.
Yeah, cool.
Dave Alvin and brothers Ethan and Aaron Collins formed the band in 1985, but they did not get discovered until 1990, and they were signed to EMI Music Publishing. Then signed to Elektra Records in 1991 and released their self-titled debut album that same year. Very successful album fueled by the video for Apple Pie, which is their most popular song, which was in heavy rotation on MTV's Buzzbin. The song reached number
30.
Buzzbin. The song reached number 39 on the Billboard's Hot Mainstream Rock Tracks chart, while the album charted to number 122 on the Billboard 200. Despite this, they decided to split up because the Collins brothers and Caldarella was not happy with the musical direction where the band was headed. While the band was on hiatus, the other single from their album, The Crawl, was used as the theme song for MTV's, The Jon Stewart Show, 1993.
Oh, cool.
Dave Alvin continued White Trash with an entirely new lineup in 1994. It did not feature as much brass as on their debut album, and it did not do as well as their first release. White Trash disbanded until 2007, when the original lineup got back together for a reunion show at the Crazy Donkey in Long Island. I actually know exactly where that's at. The reaction was so good that the band reformed and played several more shows. In 2008, Dave and Aaron decided to write new material and get everyone back in the studio to record a brand new album. In March 2009, White Trash released 3D Monkeys in Space through Gotham Gold Music.
Wow. Gets 3D better. Monkeys in Space.
The band was touring again until the unexpected death of a heart attack of guitarist Ethan Collins in December 2016. In 2015, they released Suburban Purgatory. And their top singles were Apple Pie, Po' White Trash, The Crawl, Minor Happiness, and Pig. Recently, they opened their vault and pulled some of the old CDs out, the out-of-print CDs, posters, T-shirts, that sort of thing, and do have limited quantities. And they are touring right now.
Huh.
Small cities right now. Hopefully they get
Who's replaced the guitar player? Do you have it?
I don't think I
remember. Oh, you didn't have that name down. I'm just curious if it was like somebody from, you know, because very often like... What Chester Bennington sang for what Stone Temple Pilots for a little while
for
or
a hot second.
Yeah. So like a lot of these bands,
it's not
from certain eras will kind of players. The 80s too. A lot of bands jumped to, remember Rudy Sarzo was like the bass player in everybody's band for
Vivian Campbell jumped into Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But Dave Alvin is very active on Facebook. He will even talk to you if you ask questions. He'll get you the CDs, posters, what have you.
Wow.
And hopefully they come to Pittsburgh, 'cause I would love to see them.
And this is not to be this. This isn't the same Dave Alvin that's Alvin and the Chipmunks.
No.
Correct? Okay.
I'm just saying. No.
Okay, Dave.
It's not Bagdasarian.
I still want a motor bar.
That isn't the words.
You want a motor bar?
I'm burning that record when I get back to the house.
The Alvin and Chipmunks one?
The Christmas one, specifically.
Oh, Lord.
Christmas.
Smelling smoke tonight. All okay. Right.
It's Christmas in August here at the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Oh, God.
Mr. O'Connor. Yeah. What's up, Pittsburgh Kevin? What's up?
Hey, Yins, guys. Here's the difference between Lily and I. Lily does, she puts so much thought and research into shit.
I like to know things.
You're really good at it. And so here's me. So the whole thing that got this started, Lou, was I was listening to Spotify the other day, or a little rotation thing.
Spotify!
And my own worst enemy came up. Mm. Now, I didn't have my phone right in front of me, and I'm like, Blink-182!
Oh, the song!
The song,
I thought
yeah.
you said, like, you're actually
no,
your own
wasn't
enemy.
No, my own worst enemy, yeah.
Actually showed up on YouTube.
They've disappeared.
Wow.
They're gone. So, anyway. But,
I literally thought that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
Wow, where's
so,
Kevin
like,
going
my
with
first
this?
Thought was like, oh, Blink 182. No, it was the band Lit. Remember Lit?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the difference between Lily and I. Lit was formed in 1988 and then he broke up.
Oh.
No, that's, that sucks. I'm just kidding. So Lit was formed in 1988, Orange County. They've released 6 studio albums, best known, of course, for My Own Worst Enemy. Unfortunately, the band has had some tragedy. Let's see here. February 20th, 2003, Derek Johnson, vocals, died. Get this. Died at the nightclub fire at the station while attending the Great White
Concert. That sucks.
Yeah. You believe that?
Wow. Like, so the guy from...
the guy from Lit.
Dies at the White...
Yeah.
Stripes.
Yeah.
And his name
not the white snake.
Not white snake.
Great white.
The great white snake.
The great white snake tiger.
If the great white striped snake.
Tiger.
Oh, there's tiger. A band.
And he's from the band killer. Lit.
Yeah. Oh, Lily. What? Lily, too soon.
No, it's not.
Too soon, Lily.
It's definitely not too
but,
soon.
But yeah, so they got that going against them. August 13th, 2008, their drummer, Alan Schellenberger, died from a brain tumor.
Oh, my gosh,
right? So this is really horrible. But these motor scooters are still at it. Lou, they're still
those
at
motor
it.
Scooters
those
are
motor
still
scooters
at it?
Are,
now, well, that's crazy, now, Kevin.
The thing is...
That's crazy!
I'm serious, okay? Look at me. Lou, see my eye? I'm serious. There you go. But these guys are still going at it. Their style have shifted to more of a country influenced sound.
Truth.
And they truth. You lit truth. and they released their 6th album, These Are the Days, December 15th.
These are the days. I watch you.
Those of you watching at home.
So you were saying I was too mellow. I was just getting warmed up a little bit. I'm still trying to speak slower and more clearly, but
yes,
I can't let my crazy side just, you know, wither on the vine.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why you guys pay me the big bucks.
Yes, that's it.
But yeah, they released their last album December of 2017, so they're still at it.
They do still tour. They actually just were on tour somewhere in New York.
Ooh.
Very cool, guys.
They do small shows.
And are they kind of a one-hit wonder or kind of?
Yeah. I really can't think of. They listed a couple other their songs online, and I'm like, I really don't know.
You'd
those.
Have to be a lit fan to know a lot of.
Yeah, I'm a lit fan.
Yeah, that's I'll right. You are. All the jokes can keep going.
Yes.
Like you could just keep going with those jokes
forever and ever.
All kind of lit jokes. This next band, they can't make. No jokes about the name. Well, the name is we could make a joke about the name. But this is a band that Lily mentioned in hers, and this is the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
Yeah.
Roots lie in the hardcore punk scene of the early 80s. Strong influence from British two-tone ska. The bass player Joe Gittleman played local hardcore called Gangrene, while vocalist Dickie Barrett was a member of Impact Unit. And then finally the Cheapsakes, they went through a bunch of different changes and stuff like that. Eventually, what happened was these bands that were floating around, they sort of all bonded. Each different members bonded with each other over different songs and different music that they liked. And the band eventually coalesced into the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Made their record debut when they were featured on the Mashup Ska compilations. Their song was The Cave and then Ugly. Which these are just early recordings were sort of on these, you know, when people would do like a collection of like, you know, like New Surf or something like that, you know, these like, you know, a cappella CDs or different things like that that were floating around at this time. And they were getting featured on some of these things. they didn't consistently draw, you know, large crowds at the shows. But the Tang record label gave him a recording contract, which result in the Devil's Night Out album. The album was released to positive local and lukewarm national reaction during a time when ska was struggling to move out of the American underground. I mean, there aren't a lot. There was some ska that made it on the radio, but very sort of pop.
Right.
You know, type stuff. And these guys were playing a little sort of more of a traditional kind of version of that music. So anyways, it was during this time that Dickie Barrett began wearing this plaid clothing. They all sort of adopted this kind of crazy look with all these plaid things. But their mainstream success came in the 90s, 93 to 2001. The band signed their first major label when they joined Mercury. And the first release was like an EP with some cover songs on it, and they finally started putting out more and more albums on Mercury and getting more and more and more support. Tony Platt produced the third album, Don't Know How to Party, and contained a cover of Stiff Little Fingers, a song by Tim Soldiers. And some different folks came in, like the guy from Bad Brains came in and sang on a song. The band would also appear on the 94 Kiss My Ass tribute Kiss album. Remember when that was a thing?
Wow.
When there were tribute albums. Uh-huh. Yeah. Stu and I were talking about that the other day. But I remember now they did a cover of Detroit Rock City.
I have a T-shirt
because that was done with horns.
Oh, that's cool.
It was very cool. So they're from Boston, obviously, and they were eventually invited by fellow Bostonian Steven Tyler. Lily, you know who that is, right? To open up for Aerosmith on a New Year's Eve concert in Boston. So, you know, Aerosmith is reaching out to them. And, you know, they went on again to have, you know, some big success in the 90s. They went on a bit of a hiatus in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And they did eventually reunite in 2007 and have sort of been out there kind of playing the hits. You know, with these classic bands, it's unfortunate. You know, they may put out an awesome album, but it's really not going to get the kind of attention we would want it to have. That's just not the climate. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's just not what was happening. So, but they're still out there. They're still putting out great music, and they have a relationship with Jimmy Kimmel, and they have been on his show, and so there's some. So they're in good company in terms of having that, you know, Steven Tyler, this guy, guys from other bands really respecting them and wanting to work with them. But the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, you know, with the past year, with everything that happened, you know, probably just now getting back to it. But I would definitely keep your eyes and ears open for for them to be out on tour.
Nice.
Okay.
Legit.
So they are still out there, even though you don't know about that. That's the thing too. Sometimes we discover that. What band were we talking about? You said, "Oh, they never left. They've been still touring." Yeah, and I was just, like, "But I didn't know."
A lot of people
wouldn't know.
Candlebox.
So.
Yeah.
Probably.
They're still just going, and you just don't even realize it. that's what we're doing here. So, Lily, what do you got next?
I'm going to talk about the band Thunder. Do you remember that band?
Yes. I don't need your dirty love.
Yes, that's one of the
songs. I don't want you touching me.
They were actually formed in 1989 in London, but they did not release their first record until 1990, which was Backstreet Symphony, and that's the one that has
Dirty Love.
All the good songs, actually. That one charted number 21 on the UK album charts and number 114 on the US Billboard chart. The 1992 follow-up, Laughing on Judgment Day, reached number 2. While both albums were certified gold by British Phonographic Industry, I almost said pornographic, all nine singles released from the two albums reached the UK singles chart top 40. So all of their songs that they released, all the nine singles, were in the top 40 charts. After a brief hiatus, Thunder returned in 2002 and formed their own record label, STC Recordings. The band's sixth studio album, Shooting at the Sun, was released the following year, supported by the UK top 50 single, Loser. After three more studio albums, 2005's The Magnificent Seventh, 2006's Robert Johnson Tombstone, and 2008's Bang, Thunder decided to break up in 2009. 2 years later, however, the group returned for a third active spell, scheduling several sporadic live shows over the following years. A 10th studio album, Wonder Days, was released on the Ear Music label in 2015. I had no idea they had this many albums, by the way, giving the band their first UK top 10 since 1995, when it peaked to number 9. In October 2018, the band announced a new album with UK tour dates scheduled for February. Please Remain Seated was released through the new label on BMG in 2019 with 12 radically reworked recordings of songs from their 30-year career, and has been described as a more quiet album taking in influences from rock, blues, country, jazz, and soul. Their most popular songs are Love Walked In. Do you know that one? You would know it if you heard it.
Okay.
And Dirty Love, both of which are on the first album, Backstreet Symphony. The album Backstreet Symphony has been greeted with critical rapture, calling it one of the all-time great hard rock debuts. Described the album's sound as a mixture of a Bad Company and a Deep Purple combination, claiming that while Thunder weren't the most original or groundbreaking band in the world, they weren't lacking when it came to spirit and enthusiasm. Let me see, anything else? That's it. I don't know that they are still touring, but that'd be freaking awesome if they did, because I would really love to see them. But I quite often listen to Love Walked In. It's kind of like very stadium rock sort of oriented. And yeah, that would be great.
I went back, like, because I remembered I remember Thunder coming out and the first album, and my buddy Sam Gabud, he was a drummer, and we were in a band together, and he was really hot on those guys. And we did cover Dirty Love in the band.
It's a great song.
Yeah. and I'm not sure if you know this or how many of their albums you listen to, but they changed their sound. And they later on have more of a kind of R&B kind of thing going on. And that music is very, very good too. I did one of those things that you do, like when the streaming services started to come on, and I think it was probably Mog, or one of those, might have been Rhapsody or one of them. And I was like, whatever happened to Thunder? Yeah, I like that band. And I searched it, and I, of course, I listen to Dirty Love, and then you know how they'll put in the other songs, and like these kind of like rocked up kind of R&B kind of thing with, you know, female background vocals and stuff started playing. I was like, these are really good jams too. Like they fit well in that. You know, I'm a little more partial to their earlier stuff only because that's what I remember, but I had to give them their due on that.
And they did do one last album this year, All the Right Noises, this year. So they're going to keep going.
That's a good name, All the Right Noises.
And I really, really want you to tour in the U.S., please.
Right. Please tour in the U.S.
Please. Lily needs to see you.
Lily needs to see you. Okay, we are going to jump over to, before we jump over to Kevin, I want to give a shout out one more time to Wolf's Customs, wolfscustoms.online. Check them out. Get the custom finish done on your musical instrument of your choice. RockRageRadio.com. Download the app as well as go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com for all kind of Ludini goodness. And don't forget to sign up and become a part of our exclusive community at LouLombardiMusic.com. Kevin, you got another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
I like it.
My next entry, Third Eye Blind.
That entry.
Third Eye Blind, formed in San Francisco in 1993, then they broke up. All right, Lily? No, I'm just messing with you.
And there it is.
I always wondered about the significance of their name. I wonder what they were getting at with that name. What?
And we're getting sued by MTV.
No, just Mike Judge. Bobby? Anyway, so Third Eye Blind, formed in San Francisco in 1993. Signed with Elektra Records in 1996, and they released their self-titled album in 1997. Now, here's a little cool fact about these guys. In 96, they opened for Oasis and were invited back for an encore after playing their initial set. How often does that happen? The
like
opening
never.
Game? Wow. Yeah. Hold on. It gets better. And they were paid double by the concert promoter for doing that.
And
when
then,
does that
well,
ever happen?
Dang. And then the brothers came and beat the crap out of him.
Probably. Yeah, took the money. of course, their two big hits were Semi-Charmed Life and Jumper. I actually saw this band. I can't remember. It was back in the early 2000s, I think. I saw them down at Metropole. So January.
That's a really... It was a very cool song. Uh-huh. And it's like, really, when somebody says, you know, all right, to hum a 90s song real quick, it's not, you know, at least 50% of the people to maybe 75 are going to go, do, 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 do. Yep.
Often exactly. Played with cover bands.
Mm-hmm.
Often.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this kind of cracked me up. Well, not this ping, but you'll see what I mean.
Wow.
January 26, 2000, they fired guitarist Kevin Cadigan. Cadigan then filed suit against them, citing wrongful termination, adding his production, recording, and songwriting royalties had been withheld. Oh, my. Ooh. Yes, yes. Now, they settled out of court 2002. All right. Now, hold on. Hold on. Let's do it again. Guitarist Tony Fredinelli. Hey, I'm Irish. I can't pronounce these.
It's Italian, bro.
It is. No, I'm Irish. I can't be here. Freddie Nally was fired. He was fired in 2010. So what did he do? He sued him for being denied songwriting and credit. Songwriting and credit and benefits. He got $438,000 in 2013. So there you go.
Wow.
You're going to fire me. Guess what? Hello, Attorney Edgar Schneider. Yeah, that was
Freddie
Nally. Edgar Schneider and Associates.
Freddie Nally. Thank you. Thank you, Lily. He'll get money for me, but they are still at it all. You know, their seventh album, Our Band Apart. How appropriate.
How about that?
Yeah. It's to be released September of 2021. So they're still
I
out
bet
there.
That some of those albums by some of these bands that like you don't know, I bet they have some good material on there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they may not all be big hits, but you know, it's just not going to get a fair shake in the sort of music.
Well, it's a whole different world today.
Yeah.
Musically, you know.
So. I there was an interesting article I read in Rolling Stone magazine, I don't know, about a year, maybe a year, year and a half. No, it was before maybe back in 2019, where she said that I'm not releasing any more albums.
Who did?
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, Sheryl Crow.
She's like, this doesn't make any sense. She's like, when there's an opportunity for me to release a song for something, I'll be putting out. Yeah. I'm still writing music and everything, but that's just kind of silly to be putting out albums.
She doesn't need that Telecaster anymore, then she could know.
Just pass that along.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take real good care of it.
What do the songs Banditos, and the theme song to the television show, the hugely successful television show, King of the Hill, have in common?
It's written by the same people or something?
Yes, it... songs are done by The Refreshments, not The Replacements.
No.
Replacements are an amazing band. Love The Replacements. That's not this. The Refreshments, not to be confused with The Replacements, not to be confused with The Replacement Refreshments.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they, well, if they break up and
you
get back together.
You just broke my whole brain.
They could be okay? The Replacement Refreshments. Or they could tour together.
Well, they, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
People would not know which band was what. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, huh?
Wait, which are you?
More weed. So these guys are from, now there aren't a lot of bands from this place. They're from Tempe, Arizona.
Mm. Wow.
There aren't a lot of bands from Tempe, Arizona. No. They come out and do something cool. Their breakthrough album was Fizzy Fuzzy Big and Buzzy. Not to be considered with Meaty Beaty Big and Bouncy by The Who. Also, Yahoo's for Triangles, the theme song to the long-running animated King of the Hill. So that's what that was called. The latter was a piece that the band traditionally performed at sound checks. The Refreshments disbanded in 98, although Roger Klein and P.H. Naffa continued to tour and play Refreshment songs along with new music as Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. Roger is, you know, I got the impression that he was just kind of like too big for that band. Like he was just had to kind of front like as his own name. I remember when I found out they weren't going to do another record, I was bummed out. That's pretty much it. There is no, they're not going to go out on tour. You might see Roger Klein and the Peacemakers, you know, going out. I'm sure they'll play Banditos and a couple songs. But I need to tell you guys about this album that they put out. It's a funny title, right?
Yes.
It's kind of cutesy. I can't stop laughing. I have some of them there French fried potatoes and some of that there mustard sauce. Eyes.
My nose is running from laughing so hard. Go ahead, dude. I'm sorry.
But they put this album out, and you need to listen to it. Fizzy, Fuzzy, Big, and Buzzy. This is one of those records that we've talked about records like this. We've never talked about this specific album. This album has no bad songs. This is one of those records you don't have to skip any tracks. There are songs that are like hilarious, like this Klein he's a really good songwriter, and songs that are really kind of heartbreaking and touching, and some that kind of like do both. It's just great songwriting, and the guitar work on the album is stellar. It's the I'm trying to see here. Drums, bass guitar, drums, lead guitar, Brian David Blush. That's his name. And really, really hot guitar player. Very, very, very hot. If you like good guitar work, great songwriting, I highly recommend that you check the album out. Although, you'll never get to see him live.
Poop.
Wow. Right? Oh, my.
Now he's dead.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
He died. He was terrible. He right on the podcast.
He's so sad. He's so young. Sorry.
Is somebody going to say something?
Something.
Well, are we going to...
In the way she moves.
Look, just how far down are we going to go?
We could talk it out over a cup of Joe.
You can look into my eyes.
Here we go.
This is a supermodel.
There it is.
Uh-huh. So show your ID card to the border guard. Your alias says you're Captain Jean-Luc Picard from the United Federation of Planets. But they don't speak English anyways.
No.
Great lyrics. If you like some great,
that's a great
lyric.
Song.
Yeah,
a fun song to play.
Well, if you like that, like the whole album is like full songs like that, that'd go, oh, cool. What do you got, Lilith?
Hey, do we want to check and see if people are saying anything?
They're not.
What?
I just checked.
What?
Bill Damiano can't even stick with us. He's got stuff to do.
Oh,
Bill. No.
I think here's what happened, and I will tell you guys, just with all the craziness, I am going to be presenting at Rockin' Pod on Saturday, and just getting everything together for all of that, everything going on with my brick and mortar business and the fire damage and all that stuff.
So you sell bricks and mortar?
I sell bricks
and mortar. Hell, I didn't know that.
I didn't even know.
So I have a lot going on. And so I did not post any events, and that's probably why people don't know.
Well, there are people watching, just not people talking.
Okay, that's cool.
We like to be watched.
We all know Kevin does.
I like that a lot.
You know, Lou, there's a great view from your bathroom window to his living room, so you can watch
what?
Him all day.
Shut up, Lily. Because it goes both ways, I'm just saying.
I'll bet it does.
Hey now.
Yeah, I like when I'm coming up the hill and I can see Stu sitting down on the shitter.
Is it the shadow or is it him? The silhouette?
It's kind of like that scene in The Thing. You know, it's like where it's the shadow and the guy gets up and does that and, you know, then it cuts off. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's all I think about is The Thing. Like the things that come up out of the toilet and...
My gosh.
Wasn't there a horror movie from the 80s where monsters came out of the toilet and ate your ass?
Wasn't the Munchies? Hold on,
I think it was Ghoulies.
Or Ghoulies.
It might have been Ghoulies. Because I remember that was the poster,
that's
wasn't
an actual
it?
Thing.
They'll get you in the end.
Yo.
Wow.
That
well,
was the
I have no
line.
Service catchy. In here for
that was,
some catchy. Reason.
That was the tagline for
fine
the...
Fine line between stupid and brilliant. Really is. Wow.
I watched that when I was a kid and it scared the crap out of me.
Ah!
I feel like we're on the Muppet Show.
We kind of are. This isn't it. This isn't the Muppet Show.
No,
we should commission that Jim Henson guy who can't do the voices right to do Muppets of us. But we'll do our own voices.
Munchies,
we definitely
look. Munchies was a thing.
Is it the toilet?
It's not the toilet.
Yeah, Munchies is a kind of it's Ghoulies meets Gremlins. It's like one of those knockoff movies.
Oh.
Okay, so Lily, are you going to talk about a band?
Yeah, okay. So does anybody remember the band Not a Surf?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What was the song that they did?
Popular.
Yeah.
It's called Popular. Yeah. And I thought maybe I was the only
what
person.
What was the popular song
they
did? Popular.
Popular. Not a Surf was formed in 1992 by Matthew Koz and Daniel Lorca. They originally went by the name Helicopter. And this is real stonery, but later changed it to Not a Surf, which Koz said is actually referring to something much more existential. It's just surfing on nothing. Being lost in your head or in your imagination, but, you know, whenever I listen to music, I always find myself off somewhere in space, you know, in mental space. Huh? And it's a reference to that. So he wasn't smoking anything,
no,
of course.
No, not at all.
I remember I would wait on MTV or VH1 or whichever one played their music video so I could watch this video because I loved the song. I was obsessed with it. For someone who doesn't like 90s music, this is one of the ones I liked. Southern California's, this is not even the one thing I was looking for. Sorry, I had it, and it's gone now.
Oh, I hate when I...
It's there.
I had it once.
Helmet is like one of the other bands that are on the list that I was looking up, but...
Oh, yeah. Unsung. That's a kick-ass riff. I like that song. Unsung. Yeah.
Not a Surfer is likely the group with the biggest hit on this list. Popular was a post-grunge tune that some would argue delved into novelty territory, but it completely and totally dominated MTV. Okay, MTV in 1996.
Oh, happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, yeah, 40 years.
Right? Regardless of your take on the song, we love it. A few 90s fans could have foreseen that they would be around for 8 more full lengths and have had an extremely ardent fan base. And they're actually getting ready to tour again, apparently. Let me pull that up now.
It's a place real quiet. I want it. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay. Not a Surf opened the new decade with a single release, So Much Love, on January 8th, the third from Never Not Together. It garnered Rolling Stone's attention, who reviewed the single favorably, surprisingly, because we know Rolling Stone likes nothing.
Yes.
Double J in Australia added it, and the previous single, Something I Should Do, to their playlist. On January 15th, Not a Surf began their Never Not Together World Tour at Neptune Theater in Seattle. So they are going to be, that's it, attempting to tour in 2021. So that would be great.
Wow.
So they're still prominent, too. I really thought that that was gone. And I had no idea that they had 8 albums.
Jeez, oh man.
Yeah. You know, well, and that's a thing that's with some of these bands is that, yeah, they had that one song. But a lot of people don't realize that these bands have had, like a kind of a core following that's followed them since the beginning and buy every record that they buy. And so they had a little breakout. They probably looked at this as a kind of like bonus in their career. And now they just went back to just doing what they were doing anyways, which is, you know, playing the music that they wanted to play. And that is not that uncommon of a thing. It's just that those bands typically people, because they don't stay famous, you know, putting out hit after hit. They're not Train or Stone Temple Pilots or one of these, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to think, oh, those guys, they didn't really do anything. When the whole time they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, because, if truly they're grunge, they don't care if they have fans anyway. Right. So, well, they're post-grunge.
Post-grunge.
They definitely sound 90s.
Yeah, they definitely have that. For sure. So what do you got, Kevin? You got another one?
Yeah, I do.
You do.
Oh, that's scary when he laughs like that.
No, I'm sorry. So my next one is Harvey Danger. Remember Harvey Danger, everybody?
I do.
Sure.
Obsessed.
They were formed in 1992 in Seattle, Washington, and then they broke up. I have a little bit more. Of course, their big hit was 1997's Flagpole Sitta. The band was formed by two students. They were student journalists, Jeff Lynn. No, not that Jeff Lynn. And Aaron Huffman. The name came from a graffitied phrase on the newspaper office's wall where they worked. And I wanted to see what I tried to find the phrase, but I couldn't find the phrase.
It's okay. Anyway.
So they played quite a bit there. Now, they played a final show on April 21st, 2001.
So long.
Yeah. They then played again April 21st, 2004. And by the end of the year, they had a new EP. So that was so much for their final show. However, on May 28th, 2009, they announced that they were officially ending. I thought it would be very cool to see them actually play their last show April 21st, 2009. That would have been very cool. But there was no word on when the last show was. Yeah,
I think a good podcast topic at some point would be bands that said that they were quitting, but then immediately did the next thing. And that there's a whole thing, including the band, because they made The Last Waltz. There's a giant movie. All these famous people come.
Goodbye.
The band. You know, the whole thing.
Adios.
And then like a year later, put out another record.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
And toured. Robbie Robertson was never in the band again, but they were... They continued man, it's like, really? They have no shame.
So something interesting.
Yeah.
We have all Bills watching who are commenting now.
Bill,
whoa!
Bill
Damiano.
Bill
Van Horn says he likes hearing about these albums and bands.
Nice.
Bill Thomas said, I guess only Bills are watching.
Billy T.
Many the Bill watching.
Well, that meme I sent you guys yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a Billy Thomas.
Of course it was.
And I think because Billy is on with us right now, I'm going to go ahead and read his meme because,
Here we go.
You know, so this is just for you guys. Let me clear my throat. Let me get ready for this. Deep breath. I want to tell you about a girl who only eats plants. You've probably never heard of her before.
That's great.
I can't even stand you.
Somebody stop him.
I know. We're having entirely too much fun on this circus thing. Do you have any others, Lily?
Oh, you want me to read more?
No, I'm just asking if there's any ones you really... Because you had a whole page. You could talk
about... Well, I don't want to talk about those.
Friends. Fine. Who out there wants to hear one of Lily's that she picked that wasn't from the 90s?
Hi, my name's Bill, and I want to hear it.
Well,
let's just hear one of yours.
Because
I'm going to finish with one short one, and then we're going
to
do...
Well, it doesn't make sense for me to read it now.
No, read it.
Read it.
You went through all the trouble.
I always have this in my playlist.
Your repertoire?
So I was going to talk about Anvil. because I haven't heard from them since they did the documentary, right?
Right.
Well, that movie came out. When did that movie come out? It came out in 2000s.
2008.
Okay.
Canadian heavy metal band from Toronto, Ontario, formed in 1978. Currently consists of founding members Steve Lipscudlow, Rob Reiner, Chris Robertson, blah, blah, blah. As of 2021, the band has released 18 studio albums and has been cited as having influenced many notable heavy metal groups, including Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, and Metallica. The band, in particular, Kudlow and Reiner, were subject to the 2008 documentary film Anvil, the story of Anvil, directed by screenwriter and former Anvil roadie Sacha Gervaisi, which is actually why I wanted to talk about this tonight, because I haven't heard anything since the documentary, because it was such a blow-up and it was on TV everywhere, and, you know,
right,
for
they
a long
had a hot
time.
Minute, yeah.
Yeah.
They had their 15 minutes, as they would say. Right?
Upon its release, the film garnered critical acclaim from many major publications and has since brought the band renewed recognition, including opening slots with AC/DC and Saxon. Appearances at major heavy metal festivals, including Download, Loud Park, and Hellfest, and independent music festivals like Bumbershoot and SXSW.
South by Southwest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sure. Reviewers have described Anvil as a pioneering heavy metal band that was popular in the 1980s, but then faded into obscurity in the 1990s while refusing to stop playing, recording, and gigging. So they were faded for a long time, and people thought they were a joke. People thought they were Spinal Tap, mm-hmm. sort of like a parody type band. After the documentary, though, they really blew up, and they were on The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien on October 6, 2009. Which was the first network television appearance of their career.
Oh, that's cool. Good for them.
To coincide with the release of the documentary in North America. And they also played Metal on Metal during the show.
Cool.
Metal on Metal.
In May 2013, it saw the release of Hope and Hell, a new Anvil studio recording against...
Hope and Hell, Elliot.
Hope and Hell. Recording again produced by Bob Marlette. And 2014, Anvil parted ways with Sal Italiano and replaced him with Chris Robertson, who was already acting as the band's rehearsal bassist, and member
of
the
record. Bass player.
Like, you know, hey.
But the album Anvil was released on February 26, 2016. The band's 17th album, Pounding the Pavement, was released on January 19, 2018. The band's 18th album. Legal at Last was released on February 14, 2020. So they are still doing stuff.
And they have
stuff.
18 albums. They're not a joke.
No. No. 18 studio albums, live stuff, the documentary.
I mean, anybody who puts out 18 albums worth of music has got my freaking respect.
Before they were called Anvil, they were called Lips, which is the, you know, guitarist and lead vocalist nickname. But after that, they changed it. But they're still doing stuff. I didn't realize that.
I thought that the movie was very touching, mm-hmm. you know, about it's these good. Guys and trying
the
to
friendship
and their friendship
love,
and
yeah,
everything. Yeah, I thought that it was. I thought that was the part about it that was really, really, you know, like moving, and it really got me.
I'm sitting here thinking of some of the titles of their songs, and I'm not going to repeat.
Folks, probably shouldn't
go look them up. But it's wow. I can see why people didn't take them seriously. If you're
Much
using
like
if you're using a marital aid on stage with your guitar,
I mean, there's that.
Yeah. I mean,
but they were very
Jimmy
80s.
Page used a violin bow. I can see that, but but I think they're still out there. I know back in 2017, I saw an ad in the back of a rock magazine where they were touring Europe. So they were still out there.
Yeah. I'm hoping since they did an album last year, that they do another one this year and maybe they'll tour with it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as...
I would go see them.
Dude, we all should go see mm-hmm. them. Like, it should be like I a Ludini Circus them. Field trip.
Oh, nice.
Then we should get an Uber.
Oh definitely.
Yeah, you're definitely on an Uber after that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna talk about just one last band real quick. This is a band that, you know, we all discover music, you know, in... certain ways, you know, there's certain things that like Lily's talked about, you know, hearing her, you know, her parents' albums, and Kevin's talked about, you know, kind of like getting into Christian, being interested in Christian music, and then finding out that these artists like these other bands,
were influenced
yeah,
by,
yeah, yeah. So things like that. And one of the ways you can become aware of music that you don't know about is by being in a band and being asked to play songs that you by artists you don't know. And this was the case with this band, and I became a giant fan, and I bought all their albums. I've never seen them live, but I would love to. This is a band called Dada, or Dada.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a three-piece rock band, so Southern California, of course. The band is made up of Michael Gurley, who's a guitarist and co-lead vocals, with Joey Calio, bass and co-lead vocals, and Phil Levitt on drums. So basically, they are a trio. Released their debut album, Puzzle. They had a single on big video on MTV called Disneyland. Quickly became staple of radio across the U.S., and Australia, where the song and album went on high rotation, reached number 2 on the Billboard Heatseekers chart, number 5 on the Modern Rock chart, 27 on the Mainstream Rock chart. Puzzle went on to sell more than 500,000 copies and earned an RIAA Gold Record Award. Dada toured for the album with such bands as Crowded House, Izzy Stradlin, and the Juju Hounds, as well as Sting. Yes, nice. And I do know that a couple buddies of mine had seen them with Sting, said it was absolutely fantastic. During several of their tours in the 90s, Dada performed with occasional Gil McKeel, who played rhythm guitar. For the past years, however, Dada has returned to being a power trio. Followed up with American Highway Flower, which is a... Both Puzzle and American Highway Flower, I tell you right now, are great albums. So you don't have to skip any songs. They're just really well done. They had one single that spent a few weeks on the Modern Rock charts, but IRS Records began to collapse at that time. So this is a thing that happens to bands sometimes. They're still putting out music and stuff, but they've got record label issues. You know, so they, after touring a lot in 99, the band decided to take a break. They did their last show in Norfolk, Virginia, in front of 14,000 fans. During the break, Joey Calio worked as an A&R scout for MCA Records. Interesting. 03 saw the return of Dada. They began playing live shows again. Released a show on CD. Spent several weeks touring that CD. 04 released their fifth album, How to Be Found. It was not a new album, but merely a compilation album that gathered all the leftover songs from the highly productive sessions from previous albums. During much of the band's tenure, Kevin, you'll find this interesting, mm-hmm. Michael Gurley struggled with carpal tunnel syndrome. Mm. In order to continue playing, Gurley was forced to make some changes. These included using light gauge strings, mm-hmm. and tuning the instrument down a half a step, as well as icing his wrist frequently to help with the pain. I remember him talking about this in Guitar Player magazine, and because he is such a wonderful guitar player, he has a very unique sound and a very unique style, and he just really just can tear it up on the guitar. But they had to take many breaks and stuff like that because of his carpal tunnel problems. They released an EP with a funny title called A Friend of Pat Robertson in 2006. Joey released some solo music in 11. They had some studio time booked. They put a new album together under the name Seven Horse. The debut album, Let the Seven Horse Run, was independently released in 2011, and the tour was followed in early 2012. In 2013, Martin Scorsese featured the Seven Horse song Meth Lab Zozo Sticker in his movie The Wolf of Wall Street.
Nice. Oh.
So they have become a different band name, which I lost track of these guys, and I did not realize this. They toured as opening for Kenny Wayne Shepherd, as well as Whiskey Myers. So they're out. They've been out there and doing some stuff. They did a 20th anniversary tour in 2012, and in February 17, they embarked on a 25th anniversary tour of the United States. So that's the latest information we have on them. So there's no official, hey, we broke up. Nobody has passed away. So given the certain climate of things, if you probably went to their website, you might find that they could be on tour.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Somebody we might want to check that out real quick. But anyways, guys, that's it for today on this subject here. Um, Good show, Lily. Good show.
Every day, yo. Every day. Yeah.
You know,
I'm looking
Lou,
at it.
You mentioned earlier it's MTV's 40th anniversary, and I'd like to thank MTV for 14 years of wonderful music.
Guess what? The video is older than me.
Oh, my.
By about 6 months.
Oh, my. That's because you took your time.
Well.
Getting here.
That's because Mom decided to do when she did that.
Well, that's all right. It's worth the wait, Lily. You are worth the wait.
I bet.
Happy birthday to Lee Rocker, born this day in 1961 from the Stray Cats, also from the band Phantom Rocker and Slick. Happy birthday to my man, the man who, you know, won't punch Dave Mustaine in the face, even though sometimes he deserves it. James Hetfield was born this day in 1963. I have nothing against Dave Mustaine. I'm just talking out my ass. Yeah. I'm just trying to be entertaining.
Love you, Dave, if you're listening.
We love you, Dave. Dave.
So Dada is very active on Twitter.
Oh, look at that.
The last thing they posted, well, it's been a year, but they...
they're so active.
But there's, Twitter, there's tons of things on Twitter for them. They don't have any tour dates coming up or anything, but they said on October 29th of 2020, reunion. So maybe something's in the works.
2020 or 2021?
2020 is when they said it.
That's when they said it.
But,
okay.
I mean, COVID. So there's that.
On this day in 1985, Drive by the Cars was re-released following its dramatic use on TV during the Live Aid concert. All the royalties from the record went to the Band Aid Trust.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
Well.
Do you know the song Shout?
I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
Started a 3-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart on this day in 1985.
He looks like John Cryer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. Oh, Lily, right? This is your record, right? 87, this day. Hysteria by Def Leppard was released.
Yes.
When? 1987?
Yep.
I was 5.
So you don't remember when it came out?
Hell no. No. I probably heard it like about 4 years
ago. This is a little bit of interesting rock trivia. On this day in 91, Metallica held a playback party to launch their self-titled album at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Kurt Cobain and Chris Novoselic from Nirvana were both in attendance.
That's cool.
Wow.
I'm surprised, but that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these people that you think, you know, wouldn't get along or don't like each other. Mm-hmm. That's not true at all. They do different things, but they, you know.
I just kind of feel like that's not Kurt Cobain's music.
Yeah. Maybe it is. Maybe it was.
Maybe he probably liked
a lot of different kind of music, mm-hmm. you know, for sure. He said one of his heroes was Cheap Trick.
Legit.
Mm-hmm. Nirvana doesn't probably sound much like Cheap Trick.
No.
Anyways, guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Also, come and meet me in person on Saturday in Nashville, Tennessee at the Rock and Pod Expo, NashvilleRockAndPodExpo.com to get all the information. There's going to be a lot of cool celebrities hanging out there, including Ludini himself. Fan list, our community at lulombardimusic.com and get some free downloads and things like that. Don't forget one more time, wolfscustoms.online. Check them out. RockRageRadio.com. Download the app, Lily V6. You want to get a little share something before we...
Sure. You can listen to my show, Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rock Rage Radio.
Rock Rage.
Download the app for free or go to RockRageRadio.com.
Yes.
And it is Rock for Life weekend, so come out to Island Park if you want to see some live music.
There you go.
And Pittsburgh Kevin, anything
I've got a fun-filled, listen to this, Lou. I got a fun-filled couple of days coming up, Lou. Lou, you know what I'm going to be doing?
What?
Nothing.
No, I got something very important to do. I'm going to be checking on my neighbor's cat.
Wow.
I'm going to be checking on my neighbor's cat, making sure that cat's happy and sassy.
She's always happy and sassy.
That's true.
All right, guys, have a great week, and we'll catch you all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
See you.
body shakes, twitches all night through. Every word I never heard, I need one thing to make me.
Yeah.